dramatic differences and dramatic changes from one spectrum to the other, from one end to the other. We see contrasts that kind of remind you of what Charles Dickens said when he wrote The Tale of Two Cities. He said, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times. On one hand, what we have is we have a global community that is more interconnected today than it's ever been in the history of mankind. We have a global community because of technology that can be connected all over the earth. And it's because of that, partially because of that, that we have an increased standard of living. You know, I know in my personal life, I have on Facebook, I have many friends. I have a family that I'm friends with in the Netherlands. And 20 years ago, I would have had no idea what this family was doing. I probably would have never met them. I met them once, and then we stayed connected over Facebook. But I now know, because of Facebook, that the Dijons were in California recently at a wedding. And they had come over to the U.S. from the Netherlands. They had made that trip. I have seen pictures of what they've been doing. So there is a technology that connects people that is incredible. So in some ways, we're in the best of times. But yet, in another way, we're also in the worst of times. We're in a world where there is danger of nuclear warfare, there's terrorism, and there are many evils that we see every day. When we turn on the news or if we go to a website that has news on it, we see tremendous evils in the world. We see countries that are trying to develop nuclear weapons that openly state their goal is to obliterate another nation. We see other nations that may preemptively strike other nations. And what we see is a world that very quickly could go into chaos. We see a Middle East where there's more fighting and in some ways more danger than when we had the Cold War, when it was just two superpowers battling one another. Now, in contrast to that, we also have a world of tremendous opportunity and wealth. There's a little company, I'm sure most of you have probably heard of it. This little company began, there were a couple of guys that started it. 18 months later, or if you want to be specific, 551 days later, this company had 12 employees. Now, by some standards, that's pretty successful. They grew from nothing to 12 employees in 551 days. Many of us in this room could probably accomplish that same feat. Now, the other part of the story is that company just recently sold to another company for $1 billion. Now, they had no revenues, no profits, but yet because of the technology, it's a company called Instagram, and it's a mobile photo sharing software. And if you've ever been online, you've probably seen the pictures. They look the little tan, brownish borders on them. But we have opportunity for wealth that's never been available in the history of man. People that maybe were not born into the right family or didn't have the right education, because of this technology, can go out and do incredible things. But at the same time, back to this, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times, we live in a country with over $15 trillion of debt. We're spending roughly, or we're borrowing about 40 cents of every dollar that we spend as a country. And it's not just the U.S. that's doing it. Europe is in the same mess. In some ways, depending on how you define it, they may be in worse shape than we are. So we also have this world that is on the verge, in some ways, of financial collapse. So we live in a world with incredible good and incredible evil. Incredible opportunity, but also incredible fear because of what potentially could happen. Then if you want to even go to something that's even a little less encouraging, you go to the morals and the ethics of what we're looking at today. You know, we're looking at a world that many of our grandparents would not even recognize. You know, I'm sure everybody here at one point or another has turned on TV in the evening to a sitcom and has seen what is promoted an entire range of sins that are promoted every single day on television. So all of these problems, all of these negatives, how is it that we can keep from letting it just drive us crazy? You know, there is a solution. There's a very clear solution to all of these negatives that we see. There's also a solution to all of the problems that we hear about, that we read about. And it is the real hope of the coming kingdom of God. The real hope, the firm hope of the coming kingdom of God. It is the only realistic solution to what we're facing as a world. It's the only solution to what we're facing as a country. And it is something, and we'll see that through a group of scriptures, that is as real as we're sitting here today. As real as the seat you're sitting in, as real as the car you came here in, that kingdom of God is coming. That kingdom of God is coming to this earth, and it will solve all of these problems. So listen to what's said today, and then ask yourself, am I ready to make a change in my life because of this information? Am I ready to make today the first day of the rest of my life living with a new paradigm? A paradigm that focuses on something bigger and greater than what we see around us today. Turn to Mark chapter 1, please. Book of Mark chapter 1. Everything that you'll hear today is based out of the Bible. Everything comes from evidence that's shown in the Word of God, the Bible. Mark chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 14, and it's the theme of what these seminars are. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. So here we see a story of Jesus traveling around, and what is he doing? He's going into a city, and he's meeting with people, and he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Over and over and over, when we read in the scripture of what Christ did when he went into a new city, or when the disciples did things, or when the apostle Paul did things, it centers around this message: preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the gospel. The message of the gospel of the kingdom of God is a message that tells you and me we need to change how we're living to match what the Bible says. And we need to change our focus to focus on that time in the future when there will be a kingdom on this earth that solves the problems of this world. Why do we need this good news, this gospel? You know, gospel can also be translated good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. We need it because the world needs some hope, some thing to look forward to in the future. It needs some good news to think about, to stay up, to stay motivated, to stay encouraged. So what was the message that Jesus Christ directed his disciples to teach? Go back to Luke chapter 9. And what we'll see here is we'll see a pattern. We'll see a pattern that begins with Jesus Christ. He came into a city preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together. So this is Jesus Christ calling his 12 first disciples, those that became the 12 apostles, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. So he gave them supernatural powers to do things that a human should not be able to do. And he did it for verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus Christ came and preached the kingdom of God. He told his initial 12 disciples, I want you to go out and spread this message of the kingdom of God. I want you to share what you've been given with everyone else around you. They were told to teach and to preach that good news. That good news that there was something better coming in the future. Turn to Acts 28, please. Because this isn't just a message that was taught at the very beginning with Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles. The next major leader at that time was also the Apostle Paul, a leader at that time. So was the same kingdom of God a major theme in the Apostle Paul's teachings? Acts chapter 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified. So at this time, Paul was a prisoner. But at this time, he was also allowed to have guests come in and visit with him. And here's what Paul did. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in prison and I had a chance to meet with other people and Paul did nothing wrong, I would be trying to get people on my side to help me get out of prison. But Paul had a different purpose in life. He didn't have my perspective. He had a better perspective. It says in verse 23, he testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. Now, I don't know who has ever sat and been at church for 12 hours. I never have, thankfully. That was a joke, you see. But I don't even know if I would have the energy to have a conversation from morning till evening. But Paul was doing this day after day after day because he was led by God's Spirit, which gave him the energy and the drive to share this message with other people. Go down to verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Part of why he was in prison was because of his belief system. So he's in prison partly because of a belief system, and he works it out with the jailer to allow guests to come in. He's not out trying to figure out a way to get out of prison, but he's preaching the same thing that partially got him in trouble to begin with. That's because he saw the bigger picture. He saw that this message was so powerful that he could not help but share it with other people. It was a message that changed lives. It changed his life. I mean, anyone that reads the history of Paul, where he came from, what he went through, and what he became, realizes he went through dramatic changes. You know, if you go to our church's website, ucg.org, and you search Kingdom of God, there are 4,405 different hits on the one website that talk about the Kingdom of God. This is a major theme in the Bible. It's a major theme of what we should be sharing, thinking about, praying about, and studying about. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. So we've seen that this is one of Christ's central messages. We've seen that it was one of the disciples' core messages. We've seen that it was one of the Apostle Paul's core messages. Let's go to Matthew 6, and we'll see one of our core messages. Not just people of old, not just the Son of God, not just the 12 apostles, not just the Apostle Paul, but there's something the Bible tells you and me that we need to be focusing on and by extension sharing with others. How many of you have goals? You know, written goals that you review on a regular basis. You know, maybe you have a goal to get a better job. Maybe you have a goal to earn more money or get a newer car or have a happy family or take a trip. Or maybe you have health goals where you want to do some sort of exercise or a weight loss program. All of those are great goals. But in Matthew, we're given a goal as Christians that says, here's what I want you to think about more than anything else. Our world talks a lot about goals, goal setting, accomplishment, and all of those things are good as long as we have the right foundation. With the right foundation, everything else will fall into place. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, and again, these are Christ's words, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. God knows what our needs are. And it's not wrong to have goals. It's not wrong to try to do better and greater things, as long as it begins with verse 33. Here, Jesus Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of the other goals, if they're set upon that foundational goal of seeking the kingdom of God, all of your other goals in life will fall into place. He says it right there. He says all of these other things, food, clothing, shelter, will fall into place if our primary goal is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Turn back to Zechariah 14. We'll see that the message of the kingdom of God extends from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. I mean, we saw it when Paul said he preached out of Moses and the prophets the kingdom of God. So what is this kingdom? What is it that will actually take place? When somebody talks about the kingdom of God, is it something that happened in the past? Or something that's here today, or something that happens in the future. Zechariah 14, verse 4. And his feet, which we see from other parts of Scripture, talk about Jesus Christ. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So what we see here is a picture of Jesus Christ returning to earth. Mount Olive, which is just on the east side of Jerusalem, one of the larger mountains surrounding Jerusalem, it says here that Jesus Christ will return to that mountain and establish his kingdom. Verse 5, you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yes, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with him. We'll see in a couple of other scriptures that when Jesus Christ returns to earth, every single person on earth will know without a doubt that he has returned. And he won't just return for him by himself. He will be coming with his saints. He will be coming to set up a new world. It's a literal physical, a literal return to earth, to physical earth. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. And we'll start to see a little bit more about this kingdom. We'll start to see how Jesus Christ will impact people. When he comes back and he sets up his kingdom based in Jerusalem, it will have a dramatic impact on humanity. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. This will be a kingdom that every nation on the earth will understand what is happening. Every single nation on earth will have an opportunity to interact with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is a time that cannot be pictured by today. Nobody is walking or going to Jerusalem to learn the ways of God. But there is a kingdom coming that will be established, and it is the kingdom of God, and it will be headed by Jesus Christ, and all nations will take direction from that. And the result of this will be no more wars. There will be no more famine. There will be no wife abuse, no child abuse. There will be no more of what we're seeing in the world today. What we'll have the opportunity to see are families who get along, neighborhoods who get along, countries who work together. We'll see a world where there's a different spirit. Verse 4, it says, and he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people. So it's not something where people will just instantly change. People take some time to become that new person. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What this kingdom will bring is a total transformation of the earth. If there were no fighter jets, no destroyer ships, no Apache helicopters, there was no military complex that had to be supported, there would be incredible assets to help people who are in need. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to bring. He's going to bring a world that's different than this world. A world with Jesus Christ at the very center of it, where people will be taught and will learn from the Bible the way to live. You know, it's a literal kingdom that will replace this current kingdom, and it will be something that we'll all have an opportunity to be a part of. Turn back to Isaiah 65, please. You know, this world that's coming will be a world filled with peace. It will be a world filled with accomplishment, with doing, with being productive. I mean, I don't know how many people have ever spent a full day doing something with their hands that you get to the end of the day, maybe you've painted a room or cleaned out your garage or done something else around the house. Maybe if you're mechanical, you've rebuilt an engine. And you get to the end of the day and you look at what you've done and it just feels good because you know you've accomplished something. Isaiah 65, verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. We will be able to be a part of a kingdom where people make, do, and accomplish on a daily basis. I can't imagine there are going to be any jobs where it's your function to push paper. And if you work in an office, that should make you happy. Because so many people do things that aren't productive. And when a human gets to the end of the day and they've done something all day that's not productive, nobody feels good. Nobody feels like they've accomplished something. But here it says people will have the opportunity to accomplish and to do, to plant, to eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. The kingdom of God is something where people will be able to enjoy the work of their hands. They'll be able to go out and do something and see the incredible benefit from it. They'll be able to build, plant, and enjoy with their family and friends. You know, I know many people have gardens, and there's just something different about the taste of a tomato that grew in your own garden. Now, that's if you're in the right position and the sun's hitting it just right. We have a garden, and we planted it where the house shields it from sun, which doesn't really work real well with tomatoes. But when it does get sun, and when the tomatoes are ripe and the cucumbers are ripe, and you put it on a plate with some mozzarella and a little balsamic vinegar, there's just something better about that food. There's something more enjoyable when you cut into a ripe tomato that came out of your own garden. There is just something different about that. And that's what this world will be able to experience. This kingdom will be able to experience. All the people in that kingdom will come to the end of the day and say, "This has been a good day. We've gotten a lot done." But this kingdom isn't just physical. It's not just about, I get to build my own house and have my own garden and do something productive. There is a spiritual element that is the foundation or the basis of how this will change people's lives. We'll stay in Isaiah and go back to chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Not only will it be physically wonderful, it's going to be spiritually wonderful. Isaiah 11, verse 9. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." So Jesus Christ, who will be the king in this kingdom, will not allow people to hurt or to destroy. So even if there's somebody who's not with the program, who maybe hasn't bought into the big picture, that person or those people will not be able to then go out. You know, one of our reasons for having a good defense as a country is if we have a bomb and they have a bomb, and they know if they hit us, we'll hit them back, that is one way to try to keep peace. In this new world where nobody's going to have the bomb, God is the one that will say, you know, if a nation were to follow the wrong person and say, "We're going to just go take over this other country," Christ will take care of it. He says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." As the waters cover the sea, it's everywhere where the sea is, water is covering it. It's complete. And if you were to think of it in your mind's eye, if you were to picture the earth floating out in the universe, and then you were to picture this essence or this spirit hovering around the entire globe as if it was water that filled up everything, there was not a single square inch of the entire planet where God's spirit was not. That's what it will be like. Every single corner of the earth will be full of this knowledge. It doesn't matter what language, where somebody was born, where they live, who their family was, how bad their past was. Doesn't matter if they came from royalty or maybe they came from Black Hawk the pirate. They'll all have this same opportunity. An opportunity to get to know the God in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a universal peace that will break out over the entire earth, so that no one will have to go to war or to battle again. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll see what this will be like at the beginning of this kingdom. And if you ever wonder if Christ has returned to the earth already, here's the answer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." So when Jesus Christ returns, If we're alive at that time, we'll be part of the group. If you die in Christ, you'll be resurrected and you'll be part of the group. It says, those that are alive will not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's going to come from heaven. There's going to be music and sounds that everybody on earth will be able to hear. And every Christian who's followed Jesus Christ that has died will be resurrected. Every living person that is a Christian that follows God's word and his Bible will be then changed to be with Christ in the air. And then they will come to earth. It says, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So how will we know when this kingdom of God happens? We'll hear a shout. We'll hear the voice of an archangel. We'll see people resurrected out of graves. It won't be a secret. There will be nobody on earth wondering, is something going on? It will be a time that begins the kingdom of God, that begins his 1,000-year reign on earth, where everybody will be aware of what's going on. Everybody will then get to see Jesus Christ. We'll have the opportunity to get to know him. We'll have the opportunity to be part of a kingdom that will be the most wonderful place to be. And this is what Paul says we should do with this knowledge. Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, one way to help me, one way to help each other, is when somebody's going through a tough time, we rehearse these words. We rehearse that there is something better coming in the future. If you're going through a difficult time, or if I'm going through a difficult time, and I get into the Word of God, and I start to study the Word of God, and I go to scriptures like this one in Thessalonians, it will change my thinking. It will change how I interact with other people. It will take my focus off of myself and the woe is me and say, I need to get out here and change the way I'm living because I want to be a part of this kingdom. And I want to influence people around me by how I live my life so that they want to be a part of this kingdom. And that's how we can comfort one another with these words. Turn to Revelation chapter 20, please. So what will those who are resurrected at this time do during this kingdom? What will they do with Jesus Christ during this kingdom? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This kingdom is 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, a time when there will be incredible peace, a time when all that are living will have a chance to get to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, will have a chance to get to know the Father, will have a chance to be able to read the Bible and understand what's being said. They'll have a chance to know what so many know today. That brings incredible comfort and incredible hope to our lives. That's what the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God will be like. Jesus Christ preached this message. He told his original 12 disciples, I want you to go out and preach this message. The Apostle Paul preached this message. We're all individually told to focus on this message as our top priority. And this is a message about the hope for all mankind. It's a message about the world being changed and the evil that we see and encounter today being put down. There's another scripture, which we didn't go to, that says during this time, Satan, who influences so much of what goes on today, will actually be bound for 1,000 years so that he can influence people no more during that period. It's going to be the most wonderful time, and it's something that God has invited you and me to. God has invited you and me to know this and to be a part of this. So today you're hearing advanced news of the good news, the true gospel of the kingdom of God. What will you do with this knowledge? What will you do with what the Bible says about the kingdom of God? With what it says about what our priorities should be, with what it says about how we should be living and treating and doing other for other people. Can you picture this wonderful world ahead? A world where all around the globe, people will be at peace. A world where all around the globe, people who are starving today will have food to eat. People who have been sold into slavery will be freed from that. People who are living lives of just complete agony and suffering will be freed of that. A kingdom that will change the entire world. Our next message this afternoon will talk about the way for you and me to be a part of this future and respond to the call that God is giving all of us.